Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is an author, Gail Nordskog. She's the author of a new book called Hearts of Purpose. And Gail, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Jerry, it's great being with you, and I really want to thank you for having me.
Sure. Okay, tell us what Hearts of Purpose is. Give us kind of an overview, if you will.
Hearts of Purpose is a book that of stories, of testimonies. There are 10 women, and I like to say that they're ordinary women doing extraordinary things for the glory of God. Each one of these women are involved. Either they're the founders of a ministry or they're deeply involved in a ministry that goes around the world one way or another, and they're changing lives. The stories are amazing. It starts from their childhood and how their childhood affected them all the way to where they are today. And in between there is where God got a hold of their lives, changed their lives around, and turned everything around for His glory and for their good. Great stories.
Sure. And how did you choose to settle on these particular stories, these particular women?
Well, I had started a little TV program here in Ventura using the public access
California
station that we have here. Yeah, I started that in, I think, 2000, maybe in 10, 2010 it was. I had taken a course, which you might be familiar with. It's called the Perspectives Course on the World Christian Movement. Are you familiar with that?
Not offhand, but go on.
Okay, it's a great one. It's great. It's hosted at different churches all around the country and I think around the world too. And it lasts for about 6-7 months. And in that course, you get to hear through the Bible God's heart for missions and going out into all the world and spreading the gospel, being God's hands and feet to those that are in need. And when you're done, you're saying to yourself, well, God, what do you want me to do? And at the time, I couldn't just go out to a mission field, but also our mission field could be in our own home. I was learning as well.
Sure.
But one thing I could do, which I really enjoy, is doing interviews like you're doing with me. I love doing that. So I started this little cable program that I called Hearts of Purpose and brought in missionaries, either men or women, hearing their stories, how God touched their lives and started how they started the ministry that they're now in. So that's how the idea came. And I've been doing that all these years, and being married to a publisher, I thought, well, maybe Jerry my husband would like some of these stories in a book. So I talked to him about it and he liked the idea and our book, Hearts of Purpose, was born.
And it's a beautiful book, I mean, in terms of just the look and the feel of it and so forth. Joan of Arc is on the cover, is that right?
She is.
And why is that?
She's kind of a long story. She goes way back. Her and I go way back, I like to say, when we were kids. I probably was introduced to her second or third grade. I had gone to Catholic schools, and I must have had a nun that loved her because I fell in love with her as a young girl. I think I was mostly impressed with the fact that she was humble. She was, she loved the Lord. I always loved the Lord. I can remember being 3 and knowing who Jesus was and loving him. So somehow I had this knowledge and I respected her, and she was a hero. She was bold. She was courageous and willing to do what God called her to do, whether it was comfortable or not. What she believed God was calling her. So I felt she would be a great cover girl for my book.
By the way, as you're saying all these things, I don't know if you've ever been to New Orleans recently, but in the French Quarter, there's a large gold statue of Saint Joan of Arc on a horse. And
I know it. In fact, Jerry, I wasn't going to share that part of the story, but I had forgotten all about Joan as I became a teenager and the years passed. About 4 years ago, I went to New Orleans to visit relatives that I had just met. And in New Orleans, I went down to that square and I saw that beautiful statue.
You mean that statue in New Orleans that you happened to see 4 years ago is what rekindled your interest in Joan of Arc? That's funny you should say all this. I was in New Orleans about a year ago. By the way, I went to college in New Orleans, so I was there for 4 years. at Tulane.
Tulane. Okay.
Yeah, and I remember Lee Circle, and in fact, I took photographs of Robert E. Lee, the statue of Robert E. Lee, because I understood that they were, that was going to be dismantled, and they did that, and
they took him down.
Yeah, and by the way, in the meantime, you've got Andrew Jackson right there at Jackson Square. So Lee has lost his circle, but will Jackson one day lose his square in light of the fact that he was a, you know, a slave owner and so forth? And frankly, a lot less of a godly man in his own ways than Robert E. Lee was. Not that Robert E. Lee fought for slavery. Robert E. Lee fought for his native Virginia. But that's a long story. But going back to Joan of Arc.
It's a very interesting story, yeah.
Joan of Arc.
You know, at that time, just a few months ago, they were... The people there that were not educated about who Joan of Arc was, they wanted to get her statue out of there, too.
Oh.
Were you aware of that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. And so, fortunately, somebody was able to educate these people that wanted to get rid of all the statues.
Wow.
That she had nothing to do with the Civil War.
It's like the iconoclasts are taking over the country. But yeah, isn't that interesting? No, but so that rekindled your interest, and so you put her on the cover, and then you even have a little section in there in the very opening where you're talking about her.
I started researching her at that time and reading different things about her in different books. And yes, and I just felt God was telling me to put her on the cover. And I said, okay, I'd be glad to.
Sure.
So I did.
And there seems to be a butterfly theme, the miracle of the monarch or whatever, throughout the book. How does that fit in?
That's kind of interesting, too. I have a friend that's a prayer warrior. And a year and a half ago, when I was talking to her about putting this book together, she was praying, and she said she felt God was gave her a picture, I guess that's what it would have been, a picture of a woman pointing her arm out with a pointed finger, and at the end of the finger was this butterfly taking flight. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I already knew I wanted Joan of Arc on the cover, but, you know, the butterfly, what do I do with this butterfly idea? But I didn't want to put it aside because I've seen this woman in prayer, you know, really coming up with sound things that seem to come from God. So I thought, well, this could be of God too. So I was thinking about the butterfly. I went out to lunch with a friend of mine for over 40 years, another strong Christian friend, and she started telling me that she's starting to raise these monarch butterflies. And she started telling me the story and the comparison of a butterfly's transformation and a person's transformation as they come to Christ. So I thought, wow, what a great analogy. So I asked her name's Gail Hubbs, I asked her to write me a little story about that transformation, and you can see that in the beginning of the book. Then my husband Jerry and I, we were still thinking butterflies, that's kind of, you know, a little overdone on some Christian covers and things like that. But I had opened up one of my several books on Joan of Arc, and there was a quote from someone at her trial talking about exactly what I described in my interview with her, where she was going into Reims Cathedral or getting ready to go into the city. And she was riding her horse, and people saw her banner above her, but a swarm of white butterflies following her. And I thought, well, there's the butterfly connection. They might not be monarchs, but they are butterflies. So I just thought that was another revelation from God to go ahead, put those butterflies on the cover. There's 10 butterflies on our cover, and the 10 represent each of the authors.
You know, it's interesting, and the butterfly, too, has a Christian symbolism in the sense that, well, Dr. Kennedy used to put it this way when he was talking about how people need to be born again. He said that, you know, one time two centipedes are with each other, or two future butterflies, they're with each other, and they see a butterfly up there, you know, in the sky, and they say, boy, you'll never get me into one of those things, you know. And so, but there is a sense in which, you know, we need to be reborn, and in being reborn, God, you know, turns us into butterflies. Okay, we have about 5 minutes left or 4 minutes left to kind of hash out. How about a few examples of stories? You have the only person I know personally in the book, apart from yourself, that I've met, is Lily Bear, who's the wife of Ted Bear, and I understand she's been suffering with cancer for years. Tell us about why you decided to put her in the book and just tell her story briefly.
Well, you know, Ted is the one that's out there, right? Everybody knows Ted. But Lily, she's also a founder of Movie Guide. She's a CFO as well of Movie Guide. And News Communications.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And she's also the one behind the gala. She's been putting that on for years, but she's a very, very
For those not familiar with that, let me just say this. This is a Movie Guide, which provides a Christian and biblical critique to the regular movies out there, plus also tries to really inform people about the Christian movies out there and so forth. And anyway, they provide a Christian version of the Oscars each year, and they call it the gala. And again, the whole goal is to basically be salt and light in Hollywood. All right, go on.
Yeah, and this is a quote from Lily. She says, "This is exactly our ministry outreach, to change the hearts and minds of those who are making those decisions." So this is the producers, directors, writers. So they make movies that are edifying, entertaining, and inspiring. So when they do this gala, Ted is so bold, he will get up and give a report to the movie industry makers and shakers there,
yes,
who actually are coming to these events. And he's able to show these people that making moral, Christ-honoring, or at least Christ-friendly movies are doing better at the box office,
sure,
than this, you know, all this sleaze that is out there.
Yeah.
So if for no other reason, a lot of these Hollywood and movie heads are making better family quality movies for the money reason.
Right.
And some of them are actually getting saved.
Yeah, that's neat. And through it all, Lily's been a major part of this. That's part of your whole point. Sure.
Yes. And Lily, you know, it's not a cancer that she has. It's a It's a disease that affects the mucous membranes, which has totally scarred over her eyes, limiting her vision. She's been treated with chemotherapy treatments over the year. But that's what is happening with her. So if you see a picture of Lily and she's got sunglasses on, it's because her eyes have been damaged.
Sure.
And her eyesight is limited. But God.
Yeah.
But God, there's some things that are happening that might restore at least some of that for her.
Sure. And a lot of the commonalities of the women mentioned in the book, they're using their talents and their honor to the glory and honor of God in some sort of missions capacity. Some of them are working to help abused women. Some are working to aid orphans, ministries to orphans. Others are working in crisis pregnancy centers. So any comment about any of that?
Yes, we have a woman that's in the Ukraine right now. God opened up a ministry there. They're helping, people with wheelchairs and stroke rehab and caregiver support groups and orphan ministries.
All for Christ's sake, essentially.
All for the glory of God, of
right.
course.
Mm-hmm.
That's the heart of every story here is Jesus. That's the center and mm-hmm. reaching out to help people in his name and sharing the gospel.
Yeah.
That's true. And, yeah, we have a couple of, one lady, I just love her story. She's so sweet. She went over to China to support her husband who was there on business. She ended up being asked to build an orphanage in a town called Linjiang, which is only 200 yards from North Korea. You
wow.
can see it right out your bedroom window.
Wow.
And the mayor in this little city asked her if she would build it. He would give them the land if she would build him an orphanage for the children that looked like the castle in Disneyland. So it was pink for a while.
Wow. So
yeah.
That's interesting. Just one example after another. Well, we're basically out of time. The website is heartsofpurpose.com. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and I just want to close with this thought again from D. James Kennedy, the founder of this radio station, ultimately. But he said, the only ability that really counts for us to make ourselves available to God. So in other words, the only ability that really counts in the long run is our availability. Gail Nordskog, thanks again for being with us. The name of the book is Hearts of Purpose, heartsofpurpose.com. Okay, thanks and God bless.
You too. God bless you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.